Welcome to Zen Internet's free monthly newsletter. For more information on this month's newsletter and a list of links for each story, or to view past issues, please visit our website at zen.co.uk/newsletter. In this month's issue, you can find out about the network with pay for budding citizen scribes, how to charge visitors for your website content with Feed, and how to start your tour of the Google Data Center, where the security guard is a stormtrooper. No friends for Facebook at The Independent. Facebook made the front page of The Independent when the paper's top headline for the day of October the 11th labelled it the anti-social network, accusing the company of disingenuous and immoral tax avoidance, and revealing that the company paid only £238,000 tax on its £175 million UK earnings. Labour MP John Mann, who sits on the Treasury Committee, criticised the willingness of web-based companies to avoid paying UK tax by setting up offices in Ireland. It's disingenuous and immoral for these hugely profitable companies not to be paying tax in the countries where they make profit, he said. They benefit enormously from Britain's internet infrastructure, but do nothing to fund it. It's like driving a car with no tax. We wouldn't stand for it on our roads, so why stand for it on the net? The MP suggests implementing a modest traffic fee to charge companies that are predominantly internet-based for being able to use and profit from British infrastructure. Facebook has 30 million users in Britain, and its UK revenues this year are predicted to reach £240 million. Read more at independent.co.uk/82061.23.html. Gaining Feed, Twitter's celebrity rival. According to Forbes magazine, Feed is a brand name you can expect to hear mentioned with increasing frequency. Think of it as Twitter with a business plan, says Forbes. Somehow the startup got over 200 tastemakers and celebs to sign up for the site, and quickly. As for the business plan, Feed lets users, or feeders, charge for access to their content feeds, and then takes a share of the generated revenue. For more details, see blogs.forbes.com/Ilya Posin. New YouTube channels for UK. YouTube is to launch 60 new video channels with programmes made by some of the UK's leading production companies. The new channels are in addition to the 100 channels launched in the US last year. Like the American offerings, the European channels will be a mix of celebrity-orientated, niche and established programmes. It's all part of YouTube's ongoing strategy, which began a year ago, to attract viewers and advertisers away from TV by helping to produce high-quality videos that cater to niche interests. BBC Worldwide is launching three new channels, including a new nature channel created by the commercially funded BBC Earth Productions. Another topical science channel, Head Squeeze, produced in partnership with 360 Productions, will launch in early 2013 with Top Gear's James May. Read more at screendaily.com/504-7506.article. iPlayer Radio. The BBC has launched iPlayer Radio, a new service that will see audio content taken out of the existing BBC iPlayer and moved to a separate service for desktop and mobile. According to the Beeb, the new service will be offered as a web application for mobile and desktop customers, along with an iOS app followed by Android service. BBC Programmes and on-demand general manager Daniel Danker said BBC iPlayer Radio is radio for an audience that expects to access the content anywhere. It's also radio for an audience that wants greater choice and control, Danker said. They want to listen again when they choose, to personalise their listening experience, and to share tracks they've discovered with friends. BBC iPlayer Radio delivers all of these things in a simple and easy to navigate way. For more information, see bbc.co.uk/news/technology-1986930. Citizen journalism versus city newspaper. Mark Astley, a former local newspaper editor in Exeter who quit his job when the paper switched from daily to weekly publication last year, returned to the city last month to launch a web-only news title, The Exeter Daily. Mark plans to roll out the formula to other towns and cities across the UK, with several locations already earmarked by his team at The Exeter Daily. Astley said the majority of the content on the site will be citizen journalism or user-generated, adding, "These are phrases that have been bandied about for the last few years, but what makes this site viable compared to any other attempts made at citizen journalism is the functionality here, which makes it so easy for people to post information." The city's print newspaper, Exeter Express and Echo, also runs a news website, published under the Northcliffe Media This Is label. Check out theexeterdaily.co.uk. Network with pay for citizen scribes. The citizen journalism site Blotter plans a content syndication network that will enable signed-up news outlets to access Blotter content before it goes out on general release. The network, called Newspoint, will provide global news content to publishers and news organisations around the world, captured and reported in real time by those witnessing the event at the scene. Blotter founder Adam Baker says the syndication network will offer incentives to contributors whose content is made available to subscriber news outlets. Check out newspoint.biz. From print to online only at Newsweek. In 1984, Egon Spengler declared print is dead. He was grossly premature, but almost three decades later, events are beginning to match predictions at some publishing houses. Newsweek, the long-standing weekly news magazine, has been publishing since 1933, when the cover price was 10 cents and you could buy an annual postal subscription for $4. Inside, then as now, the magazine carried in-depth news reporting and slow-cooked reviews of events and issues behind the headlines. And like its rival magazine Time, it produced iconic covers that often reappeared on wall posters and were even turned into pop art. The in-depth reporting lives on, but the magazine's cover days are almost over. At the end of this year, Newsweek will close the shutters as a print periodical. After Christmas, it will be digital only. In a website statement published by the Daily Beast, Tina Brown, Newsweek and Daily Beast editor-in-chief, alongside her CEO, explained that it was the growth of online news and the challenging print environment that was behind the decision. Time magazine will continue to appear in print for the foreseeable future, and Newsweek is unlikely to match its website visitor stats, 10 million unique visitors per month in the US alone. Read more at techradar.com/1105453. Guardian denies print exit. Newspaper industry researchers claim that although printed titles have more market strength in small and isolated communities than in cities and suburbs, the overall trends are against them. Publishers in small and medium markets may have more time to adapt to the digital revolution than their big city colleagues, but the challenges causing such venerable newspapers as the New Orleans Times-Picayune to abandon seven-day print publication will affect all but a few outlier markets in the fullness of time. Naysayers have been forecasting the imminent demise of print versions of most of Britain's national press for years, most recently claiming that The Guardian was moving away from newsprint towards a digital-first strategy. For more details, see paidcontent.org. Super Trooper Google Guard. It's hard finding a job if you've been in a very specialised field for a long time and it closes down. Sympathise, if you will, with the difficulties that have been challenging all those stormtroopers displaced after the final scenes of Return of the Jedi. There may be hope for them yet. There is at least one large organisation that has been willing to give a stormtrooper a second chance. The full career shifting success story is here, courtesy of the Huffington Post and Google's indoor street view tour of its North Carolina data centre. Read more at huffingtonpost.com/_197497.html. Google's ever-expanding maps. Despite a leaked weak earnings report and a sick CEO, it wasn't all bad news for Google last month. The search giant did have something to smile about when it reported adding 25 million new building footprints to Google Maps. How is Google achieving this expansion so rapidly? By using aerial imagery and computer vision techniques to determine the shapes and heights of buildings, it explains. The same aerial photography Google uses to render these footprints is also the basis of Google's 3D maps, notes TechCrunch. For more details, see techcrunch.com. Search Engine of the Month. Americans choose their president this month, and claims about the results-predicting prowess of the various systems in play on all sides grow bolder by the day. But nothing was more surprising than news of a search engine that could sequence the DNA of politics to determine whether someone would vote Republican or Democrat. That was the claim of Jason Garut of the search engine Mintigo, provided the person had a website for the search engine to look at. When the presidential election is over and Mintigo goes back to its day job, its technology will be devoted to finding and analysing patterns of words on websites to help its clients find new customers. To do that, Mintigo says it leverages big data, social networks, and the web. The outcome of the process, according to the company, is a list of qualified leads, either target companies with contact names and information, or consumers, also with contact information. According to Jason Garut, we have the only solution that does this cleanly, routinely, and entirely automatically. Check out mintigo.com. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next month.